If anyone asks, what, you know, why do you go to church? Because you got somebody to stand by you. We stand by one another. That's what we do in community. Now, please welcome our special speaker today, Reverend Dr. Mignon Pollard.
Well, good morning, CSA. It is so good to see everyone. And that is just perfect, that idea of stand by me as we celebrate these community circles. I'm grateful to be with you today. And it's important that we show up and stand by one another because we are God's radiant light. We are each other's mirrors. We hold the truth for one another. And we do that in life, in these circles, everywhere that we can, just by showing up, just by being your authentic self. So I've come here from a recent conference held at Unity Village, and I'll tell you a little bit. I spent 5 days there, so I'm refreshed and restored. Many of you might not know about Unity Village. It's right outside of Kansas City, and it's a sprawling, it's like a college campus. It's this sprawling property with fountains and buildings, hotels, conference rooms, and more chapels than you can count on your fingers and toes. They've got chapels hidden everywhere in Unity Village. So I went to this conference. It's called Celebrating Our Souls. You want me to just change it? I knew it was going to drive Justin. I knew it was going to drive Justin crazy. It's all that hugging. It knocked it off of me. It did. So I went to Celebrating Our Souls, right? It's Celebrating Our Souls. It was called Reclaiming Our Sacred Power, a conference for people of African descent in a New Thought community. Now, CSA was well represented there. Reverend Brenda held a general session. She was in a panel. That's right. And her panel title was Community as Medicine. That's right. That's right. I helped lead the 45 volunteers that helped support the entire conference. I was on the volunteer leadership team. Rebecca Davis and Linda Gaines were there, and they were filling in the gaps wherever service was needed or music was needed. And I just have to say, this happens every 2 years, and we missed Marva Dixon. And you all need to know Marva Dixon. She's a quiet force for good. She really is. She's teaching a class called Visioning. She was my teacher. She visions with me for the future. And she will teach you how to vision and vision for your future. Think about her. She's a quiet force for good. She won't toot her own horn, so I'm tooting it for her. I don't think that I left anyone out of our community. And if I did, it wasn't intentional. Like I said, this conference happens every 2 years at Unity Village. So going to Unity Village and visiting it, this sprawling thing, you might not believe this, but as our organization, the Centers for Spiritual Living, we have closed our physical offices. And so now our archives are housed at Unity Village. It's not just our archives. It's the archives for the Affiliated New Thought Network. They are there. And also the archives for the Unity movement is there. So I thought what I would do is I would just take a moment and reflect on what are some of the single most definable differences between Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind and understanding the difference between the Unity Worldwide Ministries. Now, what I first have to say is Ernest and Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who are the founders of Unity, they knew one another. They both had the same teacher, Emma Curtis Hopkins. They all both were students of Emma Curtis Hopkins, and they were both in an organization called the International New Thought Alliance, INTA, which is still around today. So they knew one another, they knew of one another, and they were in the same circles. Thank you. I worked hard on that one. our perspective, our perspectives and Unity's perspectives, it just shifts a little bit. So let me just tell you a little bit about Unity. God, they view God as divine mind, as spirit, as loving creator. So do we. However, Fillmore kept a strong Christian foundation. They use the Bible as an allegorical text, meaning that they use real people, places, and events to symbolize deeper spiritual truths for abstract principles. So, for example, if you were at a Unity church, you would know that there are 12 powers of the mind. So, and those 12 powers, guess what? They represent the 12 disciples. So, for instance, love is John. And believe it or not, and you'll have to go and figure this one out, Judas is life. Mm-hmm. So Charles Fillmore wrote a text called Metaphysical Bible, and he explains in this text, he explains different Bible stories, different Bible principles, well-known Bible principles are there. And so if I'm ever giving you a story about a Bible story, I'm going to be referencing the Metaphysical Bible from Charles Fillmore. When they built this, they said the good is available. Good is to you. Good is for you. And the God is good. And the God is in you. Good is available for you. Good is there for you. And God is in you. Now, Unity influenced a lot of people. And I want to bring in, because I was in Celebrating Our Souls, something for people of African descent in the New Thought movement. So I just want to bring in a little bit of the legacy of African American women in the New Thought movement, starting with Johnny Coleman, who went to Unity under Fillmore, and she studied under the Fillmores. Now, some of you may know this, many of you may not. Johnny Coleman was diagnosed with a disease and it was told that she had 6 months to live. And she heard about this healing ministry that the Fillmores had. And so she went to something called the Unity School of Practical Christianity. Now, Johnny Coleman was the third ordained Unity minister in 1956. And she did an entire branch of New Thought developed out of her ministry. She founded an organization called the Universal Foundation for Better Living. And some of the teachers are my teachers. And some of the teachers you know, but I don't think you know. So I'm going to tell you. Reverend Della Reese, touched by an angel, Unity minister. Reverend Mary Tompkin, she is from in Miami. She had a very huge following there. Reverend Iyanla Van Zandt. Did you know she was a reverend? Fixed my life. There's a woman named Reverend Sherry James. She took over Reverend Della Reese's church. And up on the screen there, we have Reverend Dr. Sheila McKeithen, and she is the current president of the Universal Foundation for Better Living. All of these are Unity's legacy, the legacy from the Unity philosophy. So like many New Thought movements, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's work was based on belief. It was based on healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. Charles devoted 2 books and many essays to the idea of healing. The first book he wrote was Jesus Christ Heals, and another was called Christian Healing. Now, Fillmore taught that healing is fundamentally a spiritual process of awakening to the divine that is within you. And so you know you can be healed. It's only the wholeness of God to be revealed in and as your life. So healing is the realization of God presence, the energy within you that's all around you. This energy is knowing that you're not separate from God, but that God is the life spark that is the very light within you. And Fillmore reminds us that God is life, his wholeness, its intelligence, its perfection, and that this divine life force is within every person. Healing, as we understand it, is in our thinking, it's in our feeling, it's in our consciousness. And when we bring this into alignment with the spiritual reality, there is nothing missing. Everything is right here. It's right now. It's right here and right now. You have everything you need within you. Now, Fillmore is a teacher in a long line of teachers that believe in the mind-body connection. It starts with Phineas Quimbley. He was called the father of New Thought, and he taught that physical illness starts in the mind and that changing wrong beliefs cures the body. But staying with that idea of curing the body, there's a difference between curing and healing. But I'm going to go back to curing right now, and I'm going to go back to some of what I call the modern-day prophets. The modern-day prophets include Joe Dispenza, who thinks that you can do quantum meditation and heal generational trauma. You can heal generational illnesses. Your present is not bound by your past. That your present is not bound by your past. Through quantum physics, healing is possible from whatever has been in your family and generations right here and right now. Also, I keep close to my book side. I keep Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. It's a powerful book that creates affirmations that talk to your subconscious mind, and it causes physical manifestations. The beliefs that these teachers are bringing you, those are the same that all are doing. And they all are saying that healing begins as a spiritual space to a physical manifestation. So they work in the realm of physical cures, different from physical healing. But physical cures, both Unity and Science of Mind, believe that to cure what ails you, you can turn to a plant, a pill, or a physician. All the New Thought teachers say that our body responds to our consciousness, that our deeply held beliefs affect our body. So you cannot just say, I want this illness to go away, which of course you do. But you work to change your consciousness and what you believe is possible. Which brings us to this most recent legacy, which is Reverend Sheila in her book, 12 Steps to Healing. And it outlines principles for healing. Those are the same today, tomorrow, and always. The first thing that Reverend Sheila says in her book is that you claim your inheritance. You are made of God's stuff. God is in you. Whatever God is you. So that God stuff, that's your first knowing. And you need to know that. You need to know that. But it's more than knowing that. You need to accept that. Accept that you are more than just your physical body, that you are a spiritual entity. Do you guys remember Wayne Dyer? We used to always say that we're a spiritual entity having a physical manifestation. That's the bottom line. That's what we are. That's the second thing. Accept it. Accept that it is beginning in the spiritual realm, beginning in the unseen, beginning in the unknown. And most importantly, it's all within you, all of it. Divine intelligence is within you. Your body is constantly, always trying to heal you. You have a cut, your body is going to work. And praise God, we don't have to think about it. Because if I had to think about my heart beating or my blood flowing, I might miss a beat. Thank God the divine intelligence is there and it comes together as you. And most importantly, we use the power of the word and we speak that power out loud. Oh, I'm pointing. My mom said, don't point. The power of the word, speak it out loud. But that's the truth of affirmations. They're powerful. They're powerful tools to change your subconscious. So I'm actually going to ask you, in the spirit of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. They also use the Bible, so does Reverend Sheila McKeithen, and so do I whenever I speak. And I use that metaphysical Bible, like I said. But one of the affirmations they do is they ask you to bless and to accept your body, to affirm your body right now. They ask you to use your vibration, the vibration of your voice, to shift your consciousness. Because affirmations are a way of attuning your awareness to God's presence in and as your life, in the power of the word. So you use the affirmation. So here is one of Charles Fillmore's affirmations. He says, I recognize, honor, and love my body temple as it is the living God. I'm going to say it again. I recognize, honor, and love my body temple as it is the living God. If you are willing, please say that with me. I recognize, honor, and love my body temple as it is the living God. So instead of saying something like, oh, my body has betrayed me, your affirmation might be something like, Reverend Sheila, because remember, this is a progression, right? A progression of thought, a progression of consciousness, a movement forward of this idea. And Reverend Sheila's affirmation, hear me well, God is wholeness. I am from God. I am whole. I claim my wholeness now. Oh, come on. We cannot let that one go. I'll say it. You say it with me. God is wholeness.
God is wholeness.
I am from God.
I am from God.
I am whole.
I am whole.
I claim my wholeness now.
Now
feel into that. That's the truth of who you are. That's the shining, the radiant you. That's the God that created you in the process, that helps you shift your consciousness. All of your healing begins within. You make up your mind, you make a decision, and then all healing begins from within. Healing is different from a medical cure. A medical cure can relieve you of your physical symptoms. Healing is knowing for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is working in you and as you and through you in every cell of your body. And healing might just manifest as a physical cure, but it also might bring you back to the understanding of, regardless of what's going on, there is no separation between you and universal spirit, none. So no matter what hurts, no matter what aches, no matter what condition is, the truth is you are God's radiance. God's light is working as you. God's light is working through you. And if you're going through something right now, a spiritual healing might be just letting go. Letting go. Letting go. And following that inside intuition, I'm going to tell you very, very briefly. Most of you know my pulmonary embolism, saddle pulmonary embolism story. Well, what you don't know is that they said I had heart damage. And a healed heart, that's a whole other sermon, but a healed heart around forgiveness, around love, that's what I believe a healed heart is. 1 year after that, I went back to the very cute echocardiologist. I might be half dead, but I ain't blind. Anywho, we were both at a separate hospital. I specifically, because sometimes, you know, a place can bring a trauma, right? So I went to a whole different hospital to get the second echocardiogram. And there he comes, I was going to say with his fine self, walking in. I'm old, so I can look. Y'all don't see the grays, but it's there. Anywho, we get to talking, and he says, your heart is perfectly healed. I don't know what you're doing. I'm not supposed to tell you this, but the people that are in your condition, I usually never see them again. What did you do? Like, he saw me the first night before I was in the ICU for a week. And he says, what are you doing? Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And I'm going to tell you that in the ICU, and even that year that followed, what I was doing was letting go and letting God. Just letting go and letting God and following every step. So, you know, we say each day is a gift, but we need to feel it. We need to mean it. We need to embrace life. I truly believe I'm given a second plan, a second chance, which is why I always play second chance lotto. Anyway, I truly believe that I was given a second chance. And if you're still here on the planet, there are lessons you need to learn. There's things that you can exemplify in God's goodness, God's love, God's radiance. The idea of changing your consciousness is not easy. That this change in consciousness will change your life. It will support a physical cure. It will change your consciousness. It will help heal you. All you have to do, And the only mind you have to change is yours, is your own. So that's your assignment. That's your assignment today. It's one of faith. It's one of belief. How do you do it? Well, okay, affirmations. Affirmations is a powerful way, but unity says go into the silence. You all have heard of silent unity. Have you heard of silent unity? Silent prayers. Okay, in my own belief, I believe that even sometimes your thoughts are so loud I can hear you. I hear you, Reverend Rick. About a month ago, I really wanted to speak. He's saying, wrap it up. About a month ago, I wanted to speak on this topic of healing and revealing. I wanted to speak on this topic of the wholeness of life. And you know what happened? No, I'll tell you. Every ache, every pain, every issue that I've ever had came to the surface. That's a part of the process of healing. It's called chemicalization. Everything that needs to be healed will come rushing to the surface of your mind. And I use every means possible to understand those aches and those pains. So most recently, I've had an issue with my hip. And of course, I turned to Louise Hay, and I do talk to Louise Hay out loud. I probably say this all the time. Every time I get up here, I probably talk about how I talk to dead people. But I talk to Louise Hay, and I, you know, and her book says that an issue with the hip means you have an issue of move, or you're afraid to move forward. And so I said, really, Louise? Really? And then I use her affirmation because I also listen. And her affirmation is, I am in perfect balance. I move forward with ease and with joy at every age. The at every age got me. But after I say that a few times, I grab my Bengay wrap, rubbing ointment. I get some rubbing alcohol. I use CBD ointment on my lip, on my hip, and my lip, don't judge. I take supplements. He's never going to let me speak again. I use every possible cure I can without surgery. Every possible cure, I use it without surgery. I use it to heal. And then I sit in silence. And then I ask myself, in what ways do I refuse to move forward? And then I listen for the answers. And then I journal. So Fillmore says, first we go into the silence, silent unity. And then we journal. And then we pray. And we pray affirmatively, and in unity, they use denials. Because sometimes if you're hard-headed like me, the only person's mind you gotta change is yours. And you gotta call out those things that are not the truth, okay? But you're not saying that the pain doesn't exist. This is what I want you to know. You're not saying that the pain doesn't exist. I'm not denying that there's an issue. I'm sort of denying that there's an issue. But I'm denying that that issue has any control over my life. I'm denying that that issue is the truth of who I am. I'm starting to testify. I have a God that's bigger than me, stronger than me, divine intelligence within me that can heal anything, whether it's financial. If I need a relationships, lotto stuff. Can heal anything, whatever it is. I hope I'm not alone up here. All right. So you use your affirmations and your denials. The condition has no power to separate me from the wholeness of life, from the wholeness of God. The condition is not the truth of who I am. So we use denials, but you don't just leave a denial hanging out there. You have to use an affirmation after it. You're speaking the truth. What you speak can come into manifest form. You're working on your own mind. And this is my favorite affirmation that I'm going to leave you with. And that is, the healing life of God is active in me now. Every part of my being responds to divine life, order, and wholeness. Oh, please, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it is, physical, mental, emotional, physical, mental, emotional. I'm going to say that this again, and I'm not going to just say it again. I'm going to ask you to say it with me, and I'm going to say it slowly. The healing life of God,
is active in me now.
Every part of my being,
responds to divine life.
Order, and wholeness. So remember, you're not a condition. You're a spiritual being having a physical experience, and you're not alone. God is always with you. God is always guiding you. You just have to stop, enter the silence, and listen, because there's nothing to be healed, only more God to be revealed.